Welcome to the Shir on Sefer Charedim. We're continuing in Chapter 5 in Perek Hey, which discusses the oneness of God. We're up to the paragraph that begins with the word Echad. Echad, one. Milas Echad be'etzem eina tzodek mipnei hiyosa Echad shein ki yichudo. The word one does not itself give justice to God by describing him as being one, because even that is not good enough to describe his oneness. Ulekach, and therefore, ha-mikubalim yichasu milas echad be'eser sefiros. The mikubalim, the Kabbalists, they have attributed the word one to the 10 spheros. Aleph ches dalet. The word is comprised of three letters, aleph ches and dalet. So Aleph Ches, the Aleph and the Ches, Teisha Sfiros. The first two letters of Echad, Aleph and Ches, have a numerical value of 1 plus 8, which is 9, and that represents the 9 Sfiros. Dalet, Malchus. And the Dalet represents Malchus kingdom, which is the lowest Sfira. Ve'amru al Hein Sof Baruch Hu, and they said regarding the Ein Sof, they said regarding the Infinite One, Shehu Lifnei Echad, that he is in front of one. Rotzel Omar Kodom La Echad, before one. Ve'hainu Desaninan B'Sefer Yetzirah V'Lifnei Echad Ma'at Asofer, and that which we learned in the Sefer Yetzirah, and before one, what do you count? In other words, there is nothing before one. By the way, Hebrew does not have a number zero, which is so common to, you know, basic math, simply because you can't have in the physical world, you cannot have a zero. It's an abstract concept. There's no such thing as nothing, because where there is nothing, the least there is God, because God is everywhere, and therefore you have to begin with one. Saratzu bazeh leharchik mimeno afilotor ha'echad. What they wanted to accomplish with this is to distance away from God even the description of one. Be'inyan shemilas echad b'sfiros ye'amer al tzad ha'chiyuf uva'in sov baruch hu ye'amer al tzad shelila. Because when you reference the word one to the spheros, it's referring to the aspect of the obligation. And when you're referring to the Ein Sof, to the Infinite One, blessed be He, then you're referring to Shalila, which means negation, which is essentially the concept of Tzimtzum, which says that Kaviyachol, in order for God to, if God is everywhere, how can He create the world that takes up space, which is finite? So therefore we have to apply a concept of Tzimtzum, which means that God removed Himself from this world. Again, the deeper explanation of that is beyond the scope of this shir. So we'll just continue. V'zeh echad v'ein yachid ki yichuda. And that's what it means, that when we say this is one, God is one, but there is no other one like His oneness. His oneness is indescribable. Umikoach achduso me'achdam. And from the power of His oneness, He can make them, meaning the spheros, one. V'heim echad mikocho hamiyuchad. And they become one from His power of making other things into one. Ki'inyan shehu mikor achdus, because He is the source of oneness, who miyachid hatzrichim yichud, because He makes those things that require unification one, and He makes them unified. V'hainu menaseinu b'kriya shema, and this is what we proclaim as our belief in kriya shema when we read the shema. Be'amreinu echad, when we say echad, that God is one. She'anu koshrim hasfiros b'ein sof baruch hu, we tie the spheros to the ein sof, blessed be He, mipnei shelo yitzdak be'emes b'hem echad, because we cannot justify them in reality by making the one elal yidei hiyos ein sof baruch hu kosher mumiachdam, but only through letting the ein sof, the infinite one, blessed be he, to tie them together and make them one. V'hayna shein sof baruch hu yudeas firosa v'hu v'idiyaso echad. And what that means is that the infinite one himself, he knows his own attributes, which is what the spheres are, they're the attributes of God. And he in his knowledge are one as well. V'kevan shehein hasfiros eina mitzido eser ele echad meuchados imo. And since with respect to God, the spheres, the attributes of God, are not ten, they're all one, therefore they're combined into one with him. Shehu hayodea hu hadas vehu hayadua. Because he is the one who knows, he is the knowledge itself, and he is what's known, all of those things are one. This, by the way, is a quick recap of a idea that existed much, much earlier that was discussed in the Rishonim, specifically in the Sfarim on philosophy, is if how do you differentiate between God and his knowledge and his attributes? Because if you say that knowledge is actually knowledge with respect to God, and God has knowledge, that means that there is something besides God, and that is knowledge. But if you say that God has no knowledge, then how does he know anything? Again, it's a contradiction, and therefore the way some explain, and this is the opinion that he sticks to, is that when we say the knowledge of God, there is no difference between God and his knowledge, but rather it's all one thing. Whereas by people, you can't say that I am my knowledge, because that's not true, because I am a person, and I have knowledge, and those are two different things. But with respect to God, that does not exist, and therefore everything is one. Ulekach b'hiyos ha-sfiros miskashros bo, and therefore, now that the spheres, the attributes of God, are connected to him, are tied to him, u'misachados b'achduso, and they're unified in his oneness, hu mekor novea bahem achdos. He is the source that gives them oneness. Velo l'sefiros levad, and it's not only spheres, it's not only his attributes, ela at pesach livnas hasapir, but until the door of the livnas hasapir, which is the glow, the like a sapphire glow, which is described in the Navi, that emanates from his throne. Misachadim me'achdus besod baruch shem kivod melchasol le'olam va'ed. All of those things are unified into the concept of baruch shem kivod melchasol le'olam va'ed. Blessed be the name of glory of his kingdom forever and ever. When we say that after Shema, she'inyan va'ed, because the concept of va'ed, the concept of forever, karav le'inyan echad, it's close to the concept of one. Be'inyan, in the relationship, she'ein sof baruch hu noveya achdos l'sfiros, u'mehasfiros noveya achdos mikoch le'hechalos. Because the infinite one, blessed be he kind of sets forth oneness to the spheres, to his attributes, and mehasfir, and from the attributes, he provides oneness to the heichalos, to the chambers below. Vilazeh kol eze yichod sheyimatzi basfiros tzarich lechaven beechad hamiyachid kol hatzarich yichod. And therefore, when we mention any oneness that is found in the spheres and the attributes, you have to think of it with regard to one God, who is the unifier of everything that requires to be unified. V'kede'isa b'tikunim, and like it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, u'v'gin de'ant milgav u'miyachid lon, that you are the one who makes them one. Milas echad, the word echad, shano omrim eino kamira v'dibor. When we say the word echad, one, it is not like a statement, like a regular statement or a proclamation, kiboyiz baruch lo yitzdak shumamira v'dibor. Because with regard to God, again, you cannot justify any statement or proclamation. Amnam hu echad sichli. He is the one of mind, of my mind. Shehaseichel dan bo beratzu vashov bihirhur umachshava. Because the mind, in other words, the human mind, judges him in a fashion that you run forward and you return. We'll explain that in a moment. With regard to the thought process, in other words, when we think of God, we perceive him as one, but what that exactly means, we have no idea. V'kein amar Rabbi Seinu Zal, and also Chazal said as well, Tzarech l'harich b'echad, you have to extend, prolong the word echad when you say it, k'dei shenam l'chehu v'chulu, in order to make God king, etc. Nimtza she'echad ha'mechuna eino ba'ein sof baruchu ela basfiros. So therefore it comes out that one is not described with the Ein Sof, with the infinite God, but rather basfiras, but rather in his attributes. Ve'echad be'Ein Sof Baruch Hu who behir v'lebapem etnei shehir b'ratzav Hashov. And again, when we think of God as one, and we reference that to the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, to the Blessed be He, the Infinite One, it's all in the thought, but not in the expression of our mouth, because our thoughts work in this fashion of Ratzav Hashov. They run, it runs and it returns. Ratzav Hashov is a way of is a fashion in which people think of not objects, but ideas and concepts that are beyond the human comprehension, meaning we cannot dwell on them. So what happens is we think of a concept that is beyond us, in other words, the infinite one. So while we're thinking about it, it's Ratzav, we're running towards him. But then we have to let go, and we have to clear our mind and say that, well, we can't think about this anymore. Because otherwise we'll go crazy and we'll lose our mind. So we kind of move away from that thought process. So that's Vashov, and we return. In other words, we run away from our sanity in this world, and we kind of let our mind float around a different world, and then we let it return back to this world, back to our sanity. Eino guf. God does not have a body. Tzarech sheteda lehafshed hagashmus mehamalachim ulamala. What that means, that God has no body, is that you have to know, that you have to let go of all physicality when you think of anything with regard to angels and anything that is above them in terms of a level of holiness and closeness to God. From angels and above, there is no physicality. Hinei haseichel hazeh hasher el hamoach. So this idea resides in the brain. Yeshushur harba v'yeshushur me'at. There is some capacity to perceive it is a large capacity, and some is a small capacity to perceive it. Ve'eino mitzad haguf, but it has nothing to do with the human body. Shehare kol bnei adam yesh lahem moach. All people have a brain. Ela mitzad ma shehaseichel be'atzmo inyan le'atzmo. But rather with the mind itself, meaning to itself, v'hinei haseichel hazeh hamaskil hadrushim ha'inyanim, and therefore this concept, this understanding, the one that goes through all of these ideas, yisrab inyana oyimat, whether you do it a lot or a little, whether you understand it a lot or a little, lefi mashi'i ha'adam maskil, according to what a human being can understand. Mifnei shehaseichel b'koach lo b'foal. In other words, because this type of understanding is with the power of understanding and not with the effort. What he's trying to say here is that when we think of upper beings like angels and anything above them and kaviyachal God himself, our human brain cannot perceive anything without attaching some sort of a physicality to it, because you can't imagine something which does not have a shape and a form. So what he's saying is that since it's limited by a human body, there are some people who may understand more than others, but it has nothing to do with their effort. In other words, just because you sit and try really hard, it's not going to increase your understanding of these types of concepts, because they're not dependent on effort, but rather it's almost like it's a koach, it's a force that exists within a human brain, that either you get it or you don't get it. Ve'ata tetzayer shehaseichel hazeh yimatzei be'atzma b'li shitof haguf. And now we will draw a picture, we will describe that this type of wisdom, this understanding, is found by itself without any combination with the body. Utetzayer shehaseichel kol lo yeshuar. And then there is also, we'll describe that there's an encompassing understanding which is not bound by any measure. Ve'od she'haseichel hazeh yeh lo shechuna be'evar zulos hamoach. And also that this understanding is capable of dwelling inside a limb, a body part, besides the brain. Ve'yeh shnei evarim bahem yachad. And there are two body parts like that can be together. V'heim shnei galgalim lahem sechel gadol rachav. And they are the two spheres, and they have a wide understanding. Hinei lo yishtamshu shnei sechalim elu bapeh v'aznayim. But they do not utilize the mouth or the ears, v'lo yudabru ze lazeh, and they do not speak to each other, v'yaskilu ze lazeh, but they still understand each other. V'hine lefi ze lo yitztarchu hasechalim ha'elu lefe ledaber, and therefore these higher form, these understandings do not require a mouth to speak. Ela la'adam shidiburo kli lehotzi ritzono v'sichlu lachutz al ha'adam shekemoso. But they're only required to a person, for a person to have a mouth in order to communicate through speech to other people that are like him. Amnam elu hashnei galgalim shehem kadurim. And therefore we see that these two spheres that they're around, vein lehem pevoloshon, and they do not have a mouth and a tongue, amnam yesh lehem seichel, but they still have a higher form of understanding. They also seichel yaskel el chaver, and one understands the other. V'yitin koach echad b'chaveru b'seichel, and he gives power from one to the other, to his friend, through this higher understanding. V'hayno amro, and that's what the pasuk says in Tehillim, hashamayim misaprim kivod kel, the heavens say the glory of God. V'gomer, the pasuk continues, we say this kapitel in Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then it says again, ein omer ve'ein devarim, there is no one that says, and there are no words to describe it, v'gomer, etc., continues on. So we see that heavens can speak, but yet they obviously don't have a mouth and they don't proclaim their words out loud, but rather it's kind of like telepathy, it's a subconscious speech. And now you can imagine and describe this upper wisdom without any vessel to it at all, in other words without any receptacle that contains it. So in other words, we just got rid of all physicalities, there is no body of any sort, there is no receptacle, there is no matter. All there is a subconscious mind. So what's that? Now that you can imagine all of this, it might be better, in more modern terms, to think of it as telepathy. In other words, let's think of people again, and you know, they're sitting two different buildings, they can't see each other, but they feel what the other one thinks, and kind of, I know what you think. So that's what we call telepathy. Now, whether it exists within this world or not, It definitely does, but it's only a question of how well we can use it. And obviously, since human beings use less than 20% of their brains, it might be, even though it's built in within us, does not mean we know how to use it. And therefore, we have to communicate through more normal modes, and that is regular speech. But if we can imagine a being that does not have a body and does not have any parts and any utensils that are required to produce any type of motion or communication, and yet this being has a subconscious mind, what would that be? Vehu HaMalach. That is what an angel is. It's an upper being that it has a subconscious mind, but yet with no physicality attached to it whatsoever. Achar kach tetzayer seichel kol secholim elu adin tachlis. Now, he says, let's imagine again a subconscious mind that includes all of the other minds. In other words, it includes all of the angels. It understands what all the angels understand. It can communicate with them all until the point of no return. So what would that be? Vehu HaKisei. That is what we call the throne of God. It's a supreme subconscious mind. V'kayotze yale madrega lemale mimadrega basfiros, and so on and so forth. In this type of fashion, you can move up a level, from a level to a level up within the spheros, within the attributes of God, v'yargil atzmo lehafshid haguf, and get used, make yourself used to the fact that you have to let go of the body, let go of the physicality. Note that he does not go on to describe the Ein Sof. In other words, everything we just described is not God himself, Chas v'Shalom. God himself is indescribable. These are only upper beings that exist beyond the physical world. And again, these are the attributes of God, how we perceive him. And again, what we just describe is something that we could perceive because we just walked through a process that allowed us to discuss it. But God himself is not perceivable, he's not describable, and therefore he doesn't even attempt to go that way. Ve'al tedama b'daitecha shiyesh alaha al tzad hamagbil b'daitecha shiyesh alaha. Do not think to yourself that that you can understand and in your brain that there is a God, and you will know what it means that there is a God. Why? Shim kein nimtzeisa michayev mitzayusa b'daitecha al tzad hagvul v'hagashmus chas v'chalila. Because if you think, if you allow yourself to think that you can somehow encompass God inside your brain, meaning you can understand them and describe them in some sort of a way, even no matter how abstract the description is, that will intrinsically imply that God has a limitation of physicality. Why? Because your description has a limitation of physicality, and your brain has a limited capacity. And therefore, you're automatically limiting God. So when we say that there is a God, it's not that we understand what that necessarily means. And that's why he says, Chas v'chalila, Chas v'shalom, God forbid we can say such a thing. Amnam tedama b'taitecha chiyuv mitzayus olavad. But rather, what you should think in your mind is not of the fact that God exists, but rather the obligation to know that God exists. Behavior rats le'achor, and therefore you will run after the other side. Shel im yalad dimyonecha beyoser mezeh, because if you're gonna try to come up with some sort of a comparison of God more than what we just said, nimtesa mihara ba'alaha mitzad chiyuv atzmuso v'hadimyon yagbel v'yagshem. Because it will turn out that when you will be thinking of God, you will be thinking in it in terms of an obligation of himself, and you'll compare him again to something, and you will give him a boundary and a limitation of physicality. L'kach tein l'daitecha machsom v'al tatirehu yoser midai. And therefore you should put a seal on your mind, and you should not allow it to go beyond this. Ela techayev mitziyuso, but rather you should make his existence obligatory. Vitishlol haskalasecha mehasagasa, and you should prevent your brain from trying to understand them. Ushnehim keechad beratzav ashov, and again, these two concepts should be within you like one. That there is a God, and there is obligation to know that there is a God, because those are not the same thing. But again, you should treat them like one. Beratzov Hashov, in this fashion of thinking about it, but then letting go. Ratzo lechayev hamitzios, you should run to the fact that you are obligated to know that he exists. Vashov, but you should stay away, shelo tagvil, from putting some sort of a boundary on God. V'zehu she'amar b'sefer yitzira v'imratz libcha shuv la'achor. And that's what it means when it says in Sefer Yitzira, when your heart runs, return to the other side. Meaning that don't try to perceive it beyond this idea that you have an obligation to know that he is one, but not that he is one, because when you try to imagine what does that mean that he is one, you will automatically somehow bind him. Just to recap a little again, this type of a description is disputed in the Jewish world, and for example the Rambam does not subscribe to it. And the Rambam's philosophy is to go to the maximum limits of a human capacity to understand what God is. And even though the Rambam says that we will never understand God, and again, we can only perceive his attributes, nevertheless, a person is obligated to try to understand as much as he possibly can. Whereas the Sefer Charedim is telling us that don't even bother to understand anything, and not just don't bother, but you should stay away from it, because you will walk the ground that can throw you off the path, and again, limit God to something that he is not. This concept is debatable, but from a Kabbalistic point of view, we're never dealing with God, we're dealing with his attributes, and even though we have an obligation to know that God is one, what that means, that God is one, a person should stay away from. V'inyan ze afilu b'chayas HaKodosh, he says, this concept that we just described, that you cannot understand that he is one, but rather you only have an obligation to know that he is one. It's not just applicable to God. It's not just applicable to us as humans, but even to other beings below God. V'inyan ze afilu b'chayas HaKodosh, this is also applicable to the holy angels called Chayos, v'achayos ratzav ashov, the Chayos run and return, v'afilu b'sfiros anikros Chayos, it's applicable to the spheros that are called Chayos, ratzav l'chayev hamitzios v'ashov shelo l'hagbel. They're obligated in knowing the existence of God, but they have to set themselves back in order not to give him boundary. V'zehu nami amr bazohar barach lecha al mekomecha. That's what it says in the Zohar. With regard to this, you should set yourself in your place, meaning know your place and don't go out of it. Uma im basfiros nemar kein. So if it says so by spheros, kol shkein banivrayim, it for sure applies to those that are created in the world of Berea, kol shkein banotzarim, and though it applies to those who are created in the world of Yetzirah, Kolshkin banasim, and it for sure applies to those who are created in the world of Asiya. V'kolshkin b'milubashim b'chomer kamono. And for sure it applies to those who are dressed in mud like us, meaning people. V'zehu sha'anu omrim echad b'ratzo. So when we say one, we are running forward to it, meaning we're running after that perception. V'in yachid ki yichudo, but when we say there is no one like his oneness, bashov, then we should set ourselves back, because we have no idea what that means. Bapizmon yigdal elokim chai, and that is a reference again to the great poem Yigdal, which recaps the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. There is a line there: Vein yachid ki echad vein yachid ki yichodo. He is one, and there is no other one like his oneness. So when we say he is one, that means that we're obligated to know that he is one. And when we say that there is no other one like his oneness, we have no clue what that means, and therefore we should just not contemplate over it too much. Kadmon, that he was always there. He existed from the beginning. In other words, see, I'm messing it up already. Not that he existed from the beginning, but he was there always. Before, there is no beginning of him. Yesh la maskil lezaher ulehishamer shel yidamashim nimtza kadmon zulasu klal ve'ikar. A person who has understanding and who thinks about this has to be very careful to watch himself, that he should not compare the fact that when we say God is Kadmon, he's an ancient one, he has been there before, he shouldn't compare it to anything else that is in a similar position that's been there before. Vafilu ha-kesar, even the crown, which is again the upper sphere, Rosh l'kol ha-nimtzayim, which is the top of anything that is found within God, creatures mimeno that emanate from God, who chidisho v'himtzio. God is the one who renewed it and created it. Shekvar kadam elav headro achein sov chidisho v'himtzio. Vein shum nimtza kaim b'mitzayusa shel olam lo yader elahein sov baruchu. That basically God was there before anything. And it's not until the Ein Sof, until the Infinite One renewed it and put it into existence, there was nothing else in the world besides the Infinite One, blessed be He. Amna mashin emar achala nivra ha'olam. So it comes out that what we say before the world was created, hayahu shemolavad, it was Him and His name alone. Ein hakavana ela al hispashtos ha'atzilos kodem gemar ha'hispashtos. What we mean by this, that it was Him and His name alone, is that the Atzilus, the upper being of God, again, which we explained before, means God outside of creation, there was that concept has existed before anything else was spread out and created. V'hainu atshalo nivra v'netzal ha'olam shu habina hanikra olam. And that was before what the world was created, meaning what we perceive, what we call the world. Haya hamitzius hu shemo. What was existing then, it was Him and His name. Da'ayna hu ba'keser shemo ba'chachma. His name, He existed in reference to the attribute of Keser, the crown, and His name existed in the attribute of Chachma, of wisdom. V'ein sov baruch hu lo nechanehu b'shem kinoi b'atzmo ela al yidei sferosav. And the Infinite One, blessed be He, cannot be called with any type of kinoi, with any type of name or reference, but only through His spheres, through His attributes. Ushimor ha'ikar hazameod, and a person should be very careful understand this concept and guard it. Ve'ata, and now, hagam sheyomer shekadam l'shmita zo kama shmitos, lo ikpaslan me'achar sheha'emuna takua b'libeinu, shehimtze kol nimtze mitechilas ha'yeshus harishon. And even now that we have explained this idea that God has been there before anything from the way we perceive it, even though before there are those that say that before this level there are other levels and before this existence there are other existences, it makes no difference to us, he says. But now that our belief is set in our hearts that he is the one who created everything from the beginning of existence of anything, that is the main point to know, and we don't really care about the details of how this went about and what came before what, etc., etc., etc. This is referring again to the Gemara and Chagiga that discusses the fact that you're not supposed to contemplate on the fact what came into existence before the world, because the process of creation and what was before creation can be dissected into many, many different parts. But again, he says, for us, as far as we can understand it, it makes no difference, because the main thing to know is that in the beginning there was God who is one, and again, we can't limit his oneness. We can only understand that we have an obligation to perceive him as one, and that is it. We're going to stop here, and we will continue next time with the remainder of chapter 5. And I just want to mention that the concepts mentioned here are not, they're very abstract. And to really understand what he is saying requires basically what he said himself. Either you get it or you don't get it. There's really no way to explain it. And for those who are not satisfied with this type of an answer, again, this is only one way in Judaism to look at this whole thing. There are other ways, a more systematic philosophical approaches, which are completely logical. This is a basic Kabbalistic approach, which does not require to be logical. And again, it's based more on belief and perception of things, as opposing to a step-by-step proof of something that it exists and in what way it exists. We will stop here, and we'll continue next time with the rest of the chapter.